Set Left Wing Report, the place the news is never hidden and the truth always wins. Today, we're going to talk about the planned bungle of Afghanistan. Yes, I said it last week. It was planned. I talked about it, but I really think there's a lot more to go on this. So we're going to talk about it more this week. This week, I have a few guests willing to speak as to how this travesty was planned. First, I have Tony Mele, and afterwards, I have Gadi Adelman. I'm going to talk about some of the talents these men have and why they're able to see this later on. I'm also going to break out a few pieces I wrote in 2016 because a Texan writer whom I used to have some respect for has demonstrated ineptness in his reporting. You know, he did this week. If he wrote something this week that I refuted in 2016, that tells you how inept and his journalistic malfeasance he's been displaying out there, that I can destroy what he wrote with something I wrote 4 years ago. I'm going to get to that later. Today we're going to talk about the insanity plaguing this world, the causes, and what can and should be done. But first, we have a reading from the Word of God as we are a Christian news show. Today we're reading from Judges 18:1-6. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent to their family 5 men from the coast, men of valor from Zorah, Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, Go, search the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. And when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of a young man, a Levite. And they turned in there and said unto him, Who brought you here? And why are you in this place? What are you doing here? And he said unto them, Thus and thus deals Micah with me, and has hired me, and I am his priest. And they said to him, Ask counsel, we pray you, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, Go in peace, but before the Lord is your way wherein you go. Well, the 5 men of the tribe of Dan knew the Levite's voice. They knew who he was. They knew he didn't belong where they found him. Of all things, in a place filled with idols, they should have known something was wrong. They had been promised the land by God, by Moses and Joshua. They were slow to take it. That was not on God. It was on them. The spies who should have been sent out much earlier to learn land are finally sent, and they find this Levite amongst a place filled with idolatry. Did they not grasp that something was off there? Did they not see the man would please whomever paid him? Did they not grasp that this preacher dared not condemn the idolatry as sin against his God? There are some preachers today who think of their income before they think of what God would have them say. They are lazy, and they don't spend the time in the Word of God. Nor do they spend the time in prayer that they would have caused their hearts to listen to the wondrous God of miracles who loves them. No, they spend their time finding shortcuts to make an appearance as one who represents God, but only as an appearance, never the real thing. For the true preacher, the true man of God, is not afraid to call sin, sin. Dear Lord Jesus, protect our pastors. Help them to stand on your word. Guide them in their daily readings and talk with them in their daily prayers. Encourage them to be bold and unafraid to preach what is true. Lord, let them unashamedly proclaim sin is sin, so that we, their flocks, may become bolder and stronger for listening to men whose heart is after your will. And boldness, Lord, to keep them in check by reading our Bibles daily and praying also that we too may be your representatives of this great unending love you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week has been filled with insanity. Last week, I talked about how Biden's bungle pulled out of Afghanistan was a planned bungle. Everything that was set in motion to do the things correctly was removed in June. The Biden administration planned this bungle, or was it his handlers? As stated last week, Obama released the 5 kings of the treasonous Bergdahl for that treasonous Bergdahl. Where are they today? In the Capitol building of Afghanistan. Was this bungle done purposely? I believe it was orchestrated in part to bring large numbers of Muslims into the country without a previous national security check. Today, I found someone who thinks as I do that this was a planned bungle. And I saw a video he did, and I reached out. I love LinkedIn. I meet some incredible people there. So I saw Tony Mele's video, and I just had to get to know him. And I have to say, this man is a good man. and I just want to get into telling you a little bit more about him. Before I do, you should know that today 12 of our good men serving in the USA were killed today, and 15 others injured, and dozens of Afghans were killed and injured also in Afghanistan. Marine Corps Generals Kenneth McKenzie, commander of the U.S. Central Command, confirmed the death toll and said those responsible were assessed to have been ISIS fighters. Now, Tony Mallet is the president of senior consultant of AMI Global Security, international security consultant, defense trade broker. He is the chairman of the New York Latino National Republican Committee. He's a Knight Commander of the Knights Templar and has served this great country as part of Army intelligence. Thank you for joining us, Tony.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for the thoughts out to our fallen brothers in arms and keeping those safe who are facing great challenges there in Afghanistan in the current situation. So thank you.
Tony, at the simplest, which is one of the reasons why I loved your video, what is it that tells us this horrific bungle of a withdrawal from Afghanistan is a planned bungle?
Yeah, well, Paul, you know, and what you learn in defense intelligence and intelligence analysis is to reverse engineer. So you know a policy, right, by its consequences, by its outcomes. So there can only be one of two outcomes, the intended outcome or the unintended outcome. So when we look at the outcomes and the consequences and the realities on the ground of what's occurring in Afghanistan, you apply the matrix or the measurement of was it intended or was it unintended? So was it intended to hand off Afghanistan after 20 years with all the resources that we built up and left there? Was it our intention to hand it off to the Taliban? Was it our intention to give it to them? Was it our intention to give it to a terrorist state, or was it unintended? Was all of this chaos that we're witnessing intended or unintended? So if it was unintended, then the policy planners and the executors of the plan and the president at the top failed miserably. And if it was intended, then they're guilty of reckless treason. So pick one.
That's truly it. Was it planned is what I keep saying. Tony, we were talking earlier, and these caches of weapons that are shown are claimed to be what we left for the Afghanistan Army. I get that we trained them so well that some of them can be seen in the palace with their well-trained trigger finger placements. What do you have to say about leaving weapons behind?
Well, the Uniform Code of Military Justice is military law and applies to all military personnel on the chain of command, to include the commander-in-chief. And Article 108 says you have the proper disposition of weaponry and military property. So, therefore, if the excuse now is that, oh, I didn't mean for it to fall into the enemy's hands, I meant for it to give it as a gift to the Afghan army. Okay, that's a nice little excuse. But what's the outcome? What's the consequence? What's the reality? Is in the hands of our military enemy. So is that the proper disposition? If we were running a court martial, was that the proper or intended disposition of $85 billion worth of armaments? If the answer is yes, okay, fine. Now you're guilty of giving weapons to terrorists. And if it wasn't your intention, then is the wrongful displacement and disposition of military hardware. I mean, we basically gifted them an entire Air Force, an entire armored brigade, and battalions worth of, you know, of other arms. And it's almost making me sick to my stomach just to say it and to communicate this to you. So was it intended or was it unintended? Pick one. If it was unintended, then they're guilty of Article 108. And if it was unintended, then it was a blunder of the highest magnitude. So you see, when we break it down to the simplest truth, there really is very little wiggle room. our military is well trained on how to and operations planners on how to go into a field of operation and how to withdraw from a field of operation. And my background in security also looks for something that we call force protection. So, for instance, the unfortunate casualties that occurred today, we all knew that was going to take place because it was a juicy target. But, however, you prepare for that. So you have what you call force protection. So you have our guys over there who are organizing and supervising the movement of people in this zone, but where were the forces to protect them? And Biden was just giving a press conference blaming everyone else and saying he takes responsibility, but he takes responsibility without penalty. You can't say, yeah, I did it, but don't punish me. That's the whole point of taking responsibility and the word of responsibility, right? If it's your
Tony,
responsible.
Yes. Tony, one of the things you had said earlier, I think really points out, I apologize for missing this question earlier, but neither of us wants to call, we don't want to call out conspiracies where there are none. And you point out something incredible and undeniable, undeniably simple about Noah that we all should learn from. Noah is the prophet that went out calling about the flood. Tell us about what the lesson is we need to learn from Noah.
Yeah, for those listeners who need to be reminded of what Noah was talking about, Noah in the Bible was the prophet who was told that a flood was going to come, and so to build an ark or a big boat and put all the living things in it, two by two, the animals and people and such, and to save themselves. And so, and there were those who didn't believe him, right? There was a whole other people at the time who didn't believe him. And so Noah was a conspiracy theorist until it started to rain.
can't put it any more accurately. This is right. What we're seeing is so hard to believe it's actually happening. A military person watching Biden speak today, how did that affect you?
Well, it's applicable to what I was talking about in the video that I put out today that could be seen on LinkedIn and throughout other social media, is that it's the science or the mathematics of the lie. So the mathematics of the lie is that when you say one lie, it compounds to another lie. You have to have a second and a third lie to cover up the first lie. So the lie does not lead to the truth. A lie only begets another lie. So if they lied to us the first time, then they have to continue lying to cover up the first lie. So therefore, with a good, healthy dose of skepticism, anything now that these liars say and these liars report are just going to be more refined lies. You're not going to find truth in it.
Now, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about? I mean, you do have some incredible thoughts out there, and I was just glad that I caught your video. So is there anything else that you would like to share?
Well, you know, I would like folks to arm folks, like I said, at least with the formula for decoding the rhetoric and the propaganda that we're getting, because it's all designed to deceive us. It's all about mind control, okay? It's all about instilling fear. How does, you know, how is it that a one barking dog can herd 100 sheep, right? Through fear. So if you notice, we have always been conditioned to fear and to be fearful. So I always try to teach folks what not to be afraid of. And even though things look frightening and we're being lied to, but our political handlers are using fear as a means of mass control. So if you notice, every commercial, every TV, oh, it's going to be bad weather, you're going to drown. Oh, it's going to be this, don't go out. Oh, you're going to get this disease, stay home, you're going to die. Oh, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. If you notice, everything is designed, then the Kool-Aid is to keep us afraid. So be not afraid, right? You know, you're a Bible scholar, right? It's interesting that the word fear not or have no fear appears in the Bible 365 times. So for the phrase do not be afraid and fear not to appear in the Bible 365 times is a strong message that tells us that for each day of the year, don't be afraid.
I like that. I haven't heard it put that way before. Thank you. Wow. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to have you back in the future. God bless. Oh, how can people find your YouTube? That's what I should ask before I let you go.
Yeah. So if you look up my YouTube channel is Anthony Mele, M-E-L-E. And on my LinkedIn, it's Tony Mele, M-E-L-E, A-M-I Global Security. And my email is tony@amiglobalsecurity.com. And I'm happy to answer any kind of questions, you know, folks may have to help keep us on track and understand that there is a greater plan going on here afoot, which is to bring a lot of terrorists here into the United States. So all the people who are getting put on these planes, they're not being vetted properly, and they're bringing them here by the thousands. They want to turn around and touch our compassion strings, but use that against us because, in actuality, it's a Trojan horse without a horse. It's just a first-class plane ticket to the United States.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to have a voice that, seeing what I'm seeing, I've been going – pulling my hair out thinking that I'm the only one seeing this, but thank you. God bless. We'll have to have you back soon, Tony.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, all the best.
Bye.
Bye now.
I also have with me today Gadi Edelman. He'll be calling in pretty soon. Gadi is one of those unique people who has that national security background, a former Israeli soldier, and his work is so important that I wish more people would listen into him or read his work. Gadi is one of these rare people. Now, while I'm waiting for him, I have another horrible piece of news that I can share. Here we go. This is a hot news item from Politico, and it's written by Lara Seligman and Alexander Ward. Again, this is in Politico, of all places. This just blows my mind that Politico would do this. They came out with a headline that says, that currently there is an overact of treason out there. I was shocked hearing this. U.S. officials in Kabul gave the Taliban a list of names of American citizens, green card holders, and Afghan allies to grant we get this article started, okay? U.S. officials in Kabul gave the Taliban a list of names of American citizens, green card holders, Afghan allies to grant entry into the militant-controlled outer perimeter of the city's airport, a choice that's prompted outrage behind the scenes from lawmakers and military officials. Now, get this. So when ISIS went to bomb people, are you catching this? They knew who they were bombing. Catch that. Now, why? Because the generals are giving out their information to the Taliban. Taliban has been working with ISIS, has been doing that. And that was one of the reasons we went into Afghanistan, people. Now, this move, according to Politico, detailed to Politico by three U.S. congressional officials, was designed to expedite the evacuation of tens of thousands of people from Afghanistan as chaos erupted in Afghanistan's capital city last week after the Taliban seized control of the country. It also came as the Biden administration has been relying on the Taliban for security outside the airport. Since the fall of Kabul in mid-August, only a week ago, people, a week and a half ago, nearly 100,000 people have been evacuated, most of whom had to pass through the Taliban's many checkpoints. But the decision to provide specific names to the Taliban, which has a history of brutally murdering Afghans who collaborated with the U.S. and other coalition forces during the conflict, angered lawmakers and military officials. Basically, they just put all those Afghans on a kill list, said one defense official, who, like others, spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss a sensitive topic. It's just appalling and shocking and makes you feel unclean. A spokesperson to U.S. Central Command declined to comment. Okay. In the article, they said 100,000 people had been evacuated. Who are they? Who are they? That just blows my mind. So we're waiting for Gotti to call in. We're going to talk more about this. Again, that phone number is, if you're listening, Gotti, 319-527-6706. If they have brought, I mean, get back at it. If they have brought 100,000 people, 100,000 people out, and they've evacuated 100,000 people, and the United States only had 15,000 there, I have serious concerns. What are we doing with 100,000 people? Why are about 10,000 of our citizens still there? Thank you for joining us, Gotti.
Hey, how you doing?
I want to say thank you. I'm amazed with all this insanity going on in this. I can't see it as any more than a planned bungle, and I don't know what to call it besides a travesty, but it's its own little insurrection in many ways.
You know, travesty, I have yet to come up with a word in the English language to describe, and I've heard disaster, I've heard bungalow, I've heard Vietnam 2.0. This is, you know, I'm old enough to remember Vietnam. I'm showing my age, and I'm certainly old enough to remember the evacuation and the Americans, you know, at the U.S. Embassy in Vietnam, and the helicopter at the embassy, you know, taking people off the roof. And I actually met one of the soldiers that was in that famous photo of that final helicopter taking off. He was one of the last people off of that roof. You know, so I know a lot about what happened in Vietnam. And let me tell you, this makes Vietnam look like Sunday outing. I mean, this is beyond a bungle. I like I said at the beginning, I've yet to think of a word to be able to describe this.
You
know, say what
you
will about, say what you will about Biden. You know, he's in charge, but he doesn't know what he's doing, or he's not really in charge and he has no idea what he's doing. You know, regardless of what the truth of the matter is, we need to look at the here and now and what is happening on the ground, whether it's his fault, whether it's his handler's fault and he's just a puppet. I don't care who's in charge, but whoever is in charge has screwed this up beyond any screw-up I have ever seen, from not even just a military perspective, but from a common sense perspective. And the fact that mainstream media, I love this, is still managing to throw Trump's name in this. This is all Trump's fault, because Trump is the one who wanted to pull our soldiers out, and Trump started it, and Trump pulled them down to 2,500. Trump, I don't know him personally. I know a lot of the people that he surrounded himself with, including my own mentor, Dr. Waleed Ferriz. And if it's one thing I can say for certain, Donald Trump would never have done the most stupidest thing, which is, hey, let's sneak out in the middle of the night, let's not tell anybody, and oh, by the way, let's pull everybody from the military out before we get out to civilians. Okay, it is just mind-boggling, but we need to cover a few things. And one of the things that you were talking about just as I was calling in were the numbers. Now, you know, how many people have been pulled out? How many of them have actually been Americans? In a press conference yesterday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that 4,500 Americans have been evacuated. Oh, that's fantastic, 4,500 Americans. Now, of those 4,500 Americans, let's not forget, we're not talking Americans, and I'm not saying they're any less American than you and I, but we're not talking necessarily Americans that were from the United States that were there working or there visiting or there with a business or they're under contract. We're talking also how many of those 4,500 may have had green cards because a family member lived in the U.S., but yet they're still referred to as citizens. So let's forget that. Let's just say all 4,500 were, you know, red, white, and blue, apple pie, baseball-loving Americans, how is it that only 4,500 have been evacuated, yet, according to Army Major General William Taylor, 10 days ago, now remember, Blinken said yesterday 4,500 Americans have been evacuated. 10 days ago, a general in the U.S. Army said a total of 82,300 people have been evacuated. Now explain to me, if we have pulled out over 82,000 people, why are only 4,500 of them our citizens? Goes beyond treason. This goes beyond dereliction of duty. This, you know, they were going to impeach Trump and tried over a phone call to the Ukraine, but Biden is still sitting in the Oval Office when 82,000 people have been evacuated, but only 4,500 Americans. It goes beyond common sense, and it pisses me off. I have, as you do, many dear friends who served over there. Many of them who over the past couple of weeks have become so depressed and so suicidal for putting literally their blood, sweat, and tears into that country because they were in the military. And then Biden does this in 2 weeks' time? I mean, do we remember that originally they said, oh, it'll take 6 months before the Taliban takes over? Really?
Yeah.
So you knew that it was going to, even if it took them 6 months, you knew this was going to happen. But we're going to pull them out. And what's more is, not only did they do it in the middle of the night, like I said, and not only did the military pull out before the citizens were out, and I'm not blaming the military. The guys and gals in our U.S. military who were boots on the ground had nothing to do with this. Followed the orders of get on the plane. But they didn't even tell the citizens they were pulling out. And what's more, they didn't even tell our allies. Allies who were on the ground. You're talking about Canada, France, Britain, Australia. Allies that were there. Why? Because we were attacked on 9/11. We went in and they had our six. They had our back. They were part of NATO. They didn't need to be there. They weren't attacked on 9/11 by Al-Qaeda, who's being given a place to stay by the Taliban and a place to train by the Taliban, a safe haven by the Taliban. Let's not forget, we're coming up on the September 11th anniversary, right? 20 years. These people were there because they were our allies. And now they're in the same situation we're in because they cannot conduct what they need to do to get their own people out because America's not there anymore. Here's a crazy thing. Canada, France, and Britain have all taken a special forces unit, left the airport, gone into the city and rescued their own people. Why hasn't the U.S.? Why is whoever's in charge tying the hands of the military, keeping us from getting our own freaking people out? And then you've got this blast today. I mean, this is beyond. This was a coordinated, pre-planned, and you've heard them use the word complex attack. I don't know if everybody understands what that means. But when you have – this wasn't just some guy wearing a bomb vest who walked up to the gate and blew himself up. This was a pre-planned, coordinated attack that was done, I have no doubt, done in concert and knowledge of the Taliban. You hear them talking about, oh, well, this is ISIS-K. Most people have never even heard of ISIS-K. You know, the group that they're referring to as ISIS-K, and the K, by the way, stands for Khorasan, which is it's a border area, a border region within Afghanistan. They broke off. These are Taliban members who broke off away from the Taliban. It was a splinter group. And they pledged allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of the Islamic State, back in October of 2014. These are still Taliban. I don't care what you call them, ISIS-K, Taliban, it's irrelevant. They went and got to the gate where this explosion occurred through Taliban checkpoints. Who's supposed to be checking the people getting to the gate? The Taliban. Who have we been hearing about for the last week isn't letting Americans through? The Taliban. That means they have checkpoints. And what's more is our own generals have confirmed as much as even today that the United States is working with and giving intelligence to the Taliban. Now think about that. The Taliban today has more territory in Afghanistan and more weapons than they had when we invaded Afghanistan 20 years ago. Think about that. Why did we go into Afghanistan? Because the Taliban and Al-Qaeda were there. Al-Qaeda attacked us on 9/11. The Taliban was giving them safe haven. And now we're sharing intelligence with the Taliban, and we're trusting that they're going to let our people through, and we're trusting that their checkpoints are going to keep our people safe? Think about that. You want to talk about the fox watching the hen house? This is the stupidest, beyond any common sense thing I've ever heard of from a military or intelligence perspective. The people we went to fight 20 years ago, we are now trusting them with our intelligence. This was stated today again. This was stated today again by the Marine Corps General Kenneth McKenzie Jr., commander of U.S. Central Command. Did you see his press conference today?
I read part of the article. I didn't see it. But, yeah, this is just – it's
he
so shocking.
He said that the U.S. military is, and I quote, been sharing information with the Taliban to help prevent such attacks. Think about that sentence. Again, they have more territory and more weapons. Hell, they have their own air force now. Why? Because we picked up and left in the middle of the night. We left billions of dollars worth of weaponry there. This is why we see the Taliban running around in U.S. uniforms with U.S. guns. They never used M4s and M16s before, but that's what they're carrying now in all the videos. They use AK-47s like they always have. Where did they get American weapons? Oh, that's right. This is beyond Obama 2.0. You know, created a vacuum in Iraq for ISIS. This is exactly what the Biden administration has now done in Afghanistan. Now, I was never big on remaining in Afghanistan as many years as we were there. And this is a problem that there is a whole other conversation with the military and what we're supposed to do. There's a reason the U.S. hasn't been winning wars lately. And it's because we don't have a set goal. We went in after 9/11 because the Taliban was giving safe haven to Al-Qaeda, and we went after Osama bin Laden. Well, after 2 months on the ground, when we were like, well, we're not sure if he's still in Afghanistan, and we think he may have gone over to Pakistan because, you know, the mountains, and he's kind of, you know, he runs around and he's got the caves, and they should have pulled out. They should have said, see you, we're done. We decimated the Taliban. When we leave, they're going to take over. We know that anyway. I wrote about this. I wrote about the Taliban before 9/11, before 99% of the United States ever heard of the Taliban. I was writing about the Taliban because of what they were doing in that country and the way they were treating their women population, the female population. And then I wrote about them again when Obama was in office. And I remember it. I remember the article. And I said, if it's one thing the Taliban has, it's patience. And all you have to do is look throughout history at every country that ever tried to conquer that area, from Britain to Russia. They will wait until America leaves, and they'll walk right back in. And that is exactly what they did, only this time they did it in a matter of days instead of months. And it is so amazing to me that with all the supposed brilliant experts that this administration has who in the hell is advising this administration on how to handle this situation? Paul, you and I could have gotten the Americans out and the military out with so much greater ease than what they have done. It is beyond belief.
I don't know how you bungle things this badly without actually planning to do it. I think to them, they're not seeing it as a bungle. If I'm correct, and I think Tony Malay is right too, this is a planned operation to bring tens of thousands of jihadis here to the United States without national security clearances. And again, they're saying they have evacuated around 100,000 people. That means 96,000, I'd say at least 90,000 minimum have come here someplace. There are someplace now outside of Afghanistan that may never have been checked. Now, we were not planning on bringing 100,000 people out. We were planning on bringing our citizens out and the people who worked with us. That may be a few thousand more than those, but I have a hard time believing that we were going to bring close to 100,000 people with us. Do you agree?
No, that I agree with. I don't know that this was a unplanned bungle or a planned bungle. I don't know that this whole thing was a plan to be able to bring that many people in without security check. And I'll tell you why, Paul. You know as well as I do, just using simple logic, they could have brought them in anyway. The way this administration has been doing things, they didn't need to go about it this way, this stupidly, in order to achieve that purpose, because they could have brought them in regardless. We know about the SIVs, the special immigrant visas. We know about all the translators and all the people that helped us. And they could have easily brought just as many Afghanis into the United States or other parts of the world, because remember, not all of them are coming here. Some are going to Germany. Some are going to France. Oh, France is going to love that. But I don't know that they needed to go and make it this screwed up to achieve that goal. They could have still done it. They could have still brought them in without a security check because they're running the administration. They tell the American public through the mainstream media, which they give them the talking points anyway, hey, these people have all been checked, and they bring them in. I don't think that they actually planned this. I think that this was that much of a screw up that they were just like, okay, let's leave. And they just gave it no thought. Because sometimes the most obvious reason is really the reason. And I think it's just sheer stupidity. Because if you look at who the Biden administration and Biden himself has surrounded himself with, it is the exact same people that made the exact same mistakes under Obama. His entire staff used to work for Obama. And I have no doubt in my mind, and we may differ on this, but I personally don't think this was planned that way. I think it was just plain and simple. Look at it for what it is. They effed up. They screwed up. And yeah, we're going to possibly even end up with less Afghanis here than if they had done it the right way. Because they could have brought in as many as they wanted and said, yeah, we gave them, you know, security check. And I know for a fact from my own contacts that they've already found ISIS within some of the people that have been evacuated that ended up in Germany. That there they were doing the security checks and the clearance, and they were, you know, researching these people. And they've already found ISIS plants within these people that they've evacuated. So if that doesn't give you a wonderful, warm, and fuzzy feeling of how many are going to end up here. Let's not forget what going all the way back to George Bush, back after 9/11, what was it he said? We are going to fight them there so we don't have to fight them here. Well, I guess that just went down the drain, didn't it?
Well said. I understood the reason taking the war to them. I got that. But when you start, yep. He started to really screw up. He was talking about making the world safer for democracy or turning Afghanistan.
Nation building. That's our mistake. Nation building. When did we become the world police and have to nation build? Let's look at history. Did we do it in South Korea? No, but we're still there. Did we do it in Japan after World War II or Germany after World War II? No, but we're still there. You know, there was a reason to leave troops behind. This was the argument with I argued up, down, and sideways, and I was against going into Iraq. I don't know if you remember that. I was adamant about it.
I remember hearing that.
It was stupid. There was no reason to. It was BS. You know, weapons of mass destruction or not, that was not our fight. That was not our fight. There was no proof that Saddam Hussein, and now it has since been proven, but at the time there was no proof that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11. That was not our battle. We went over there, and what did we do? We tried to change the nation. Remember the purple fingers? Oh, look, they've got democracy. They voted in. No, they didn't. Their freaking constitution is still Sharia law. It's
yes.
The same mess that we walked into. So what did we change besides losing over 6,000 men and women over there? Absolutely nothing. This is America's problem, is this bullshit, pardon my French, this BS nation building. No, that's not. We spent trillions with a T, trillions of dollars in Afghanistan building gas stations in the middle of the desert where they had no vehicles. That's nation building? That's my tax dollars? I'm out of work due to COVID. I don't know where my next money's coming from to pay my mortgage, but my tax dollars are hard at work building gas stations in the middle of the freaking Afghani desert. It's ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous. We went in, like you said, I understand the reason behind that. And after a couple of months, they didn't know where Bin Laden was. They should have said, see ya, we're out of here. Wouldn't it cost us anywhere near what we spent? We would have been out with a lot less casualties. And now, 20-plus years later, look at where we're at. And now we've managed in one day we've lost at least, if not more, 12. And I heard you say men. We honestly don't even know that they were all men because we still have female military on the ground. And not that it matters to the loved ones whether it was a son or a daughter, but it is quite possible that some of those casualties were female. This has been – when was the last time we even lost a soldier in Afghanistan? February of last year? I mean, it's ridiculous that Biden did this, or like I said, whoever's pulling the strings for Biden. I'm sorry. I stepped on top of you. You were asking me something.
I personally think we should have left and gone, maybe just walked across Afghanistan's border and walked right into Pakistan and taken – we had a clue as to where – Osama was, and we didn't act on it, and that's not something I'm proud of. That I just something I recognize to be true at this point, but I don't know why we didn't take those actions when we had that information. But again, you're right, we could have left and gotten out.
We should have.
I don't understand
that was
some
the
of the
problem.
Reasons for
we
staying
never
there.
Had in Iraq or Afghanistan. If you go back and you read. The reasons for going in there, we never had an end game. We never had, okay, what are we going to do after we oust the Taliban? What are we going to do after we oust Saddam Hussein? We never had an end game. And this is the problem with the United States in recent history, is going into battles without a goal. If
no
our
exit
goal
strategy,
was to get,
yes.
Yeah, if our goal was to get Osama bin Laden, and we spent several months, a year, whatever, over there and didn't know where the hell he was, get the hell out. It's not our job to nation build. That is not our job. And here's what kills me. And I haven't heard this on the media today, even on the so-called Fox News, which even now, you know, I don't even trust Fox News anymore, but that's another story. I have yet to hear one pundit, one person point out the fact that America knew this was going to happen yesterday. Do you remember the news yesterday that our State Department had issued an alert to all American citizens in Afghanistan, get away from the airport? Get away from all the gates. If you're at the airport, leave. And if you're coming to the airport, don't. Why did they say that yesterday? Because they freaking knew it was going to happen. So if they knew it was going to happen, if they had intel that it might happen, how did we end up with 12 dead? If we're inside the airport compound, not on the outside, that's the whole problem, right? We're inside. How did 12 Marines die? I believe it was 3 Marines and the rest were, or some were Marines, some were Army. I know there was a Navy corpsman in there. The numbers are still very fluid, so we don't know exactly who was what. But we do know there was 12 dead and 15 injured, and that's possibly going to rise and probably will. So how did that many get killed from one suicide bomber? I don't buy it. And today, General McKenzie even contradicted himself in the press conference, because when he was asked, was this one person with a vest, or was there more than one bomber, or was it, you know, a car bomb? He said himself he did not know, but then later said it was a suicide bomber with a vest. They don't know yet. They still don't know. And I find it very hard to believe that it was one suicide bomber, because one person walking into the gate who's then going to be checked by our military before they're allowed to board a plane. Let me see your papers. Let me pat you down. Let me check your luggage. It doesn't take 12 people to stand that close to them to get that done. I'm a survivor of a bomb blast. I can tell you what a very large bomb blast does. 12 military people inside the T-walls of that compound. And that's the other thing. You know, we have those T-walls. If people aren't familiar with it, it's called a Bremer wall or a T-wall. Those are 12 feet tall, portable, steel-reinforced concrete blast walls. But here's the thing about that. That also, the way, if you've seen the videos of the lines of people and they've got those concrete walls on either side of them, that creates a funnel for that blast. That makes the blast that much more, what's the word I'm looking for? It makes the blast much more effective. Thank you. It actually enlarges the effect of the actual blast itself, because once it hits those walls, it's got nowhere to go and it bounces around. So where exactly was this supposed suicide bomber? Was it a vest? I don't believe that. And I think we'll find as time comes, if the truth comes out, if you've seen the videos, there were people walking around selling food and other items in carts. And I think it was a cart or even a vehicle, but most likely a cart filled with explosives, because you are not going to take out 12 U.S. military people with one suicide bomber standing there getting checked before getting on a plane. I don't see a way that would happen, especially, and here's the clincher, if the United States knew that there was a chance that there was going to be an attack today, they would have changed their way, you know, their operations. They would have changed the way things were being done today. When the State Department put out an alert, stay away from the airport, they knew. So I just don't see how that many Americans were killed in this blast unless, A, it was more than one individual, B, it was in a cart or a car, or even a van, but a vehicle. It had to be an enormous blast. And those that they've interviewed that have been there, that were outside, there were people on the other side of the airport that said they felt the concussion of the blast.
That's a large blast.
Yeah. And the one that I survived was inside a refrigerator outside on the street, on Rehov Yafo, in Jaffa Street in Jerusalem. That took out, you know, there were 9 of us standing there. That took out 7 kids. 6 that died that night and instantly, and 1 that died the next day in the hospital. There were 7 total. That was a refrigerator full of explosives and shrapnel. So, you know, I can only imagine the size of this blast to take out that many people at one time. I hope the truth comes out, because there's a lot more that we're not being told. for that to happen. It doesn't take 12 Marines to pat down one individual. I just don't buy this, you know, one suicide bomber with a vest. I just don't buy it. Not with 12 dead. That's just, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. And 15 injured, by the way. And like I said, those numbers are probably going to rise. And that doesn't even count the amount of people that were standing outside the gate. We've all seen the videos. Horrific graphic video. How many Afghans died? So it wasn't just the 12 Americans, and this is why I think it was a cart or a vehicle, because it killed people inside and outside that blast, those T-walls. You know, even if they were at the gate, it took out both sides. So this had to be an enormous blast. But beyond, like I said, if you can think of a word in the English language to describe this effed up situation, bungled, debacle, screwed up, whatever you want to call it, I have yet to think of a word to really explain what is going on in Afghanistan, because this one thing, this is what people need to remember at the next election. You want to vote Democrat, this is what you got. I'm sorry to bring politics into this, but that's the truth.
That's the sad, sorry truth of where we're at the very least. You get what you voted for if you voted Democrat. That's what we warned you about.
Yep.
And there's nothing more we can say about that. We warned you something horrible would happen. We warned you about many things, but those who voted Democrat, which I still do not believe was a majority of the country.
Nor do I. Nor do I.
I don't believe there's that many fools in this country. Maybe 50% or less, but I have a hard time believing that number's higher. So that's. I think you
and
can
there,
actually
there is
look
one
at,
other. Oh yeah, there is one other thing that I've yet to hear anybody else talk about. You know, this terrorist attack today, and it was a terrorist attack. And I wrote the article on the actual definition of terrorism, because God knows our own government can't even agree on what the definition of terrorism is. But this was a terrorist
attack. Just a second.
Gotti
is so correct that almost every division in the United States that has to do with
yes.
intelligence or terrorism has a different definition of terrorism.
Yep. That's absolutely correct. The FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, the White House, the State Department, go on and on and on down the list. Each and every one of them have a different definition, but we're supposed to all work together. Anyway, there's one thing about this terrorist attack that I've yet to hear anybody on TV talk about, or the news, or even in print. And that is, you know, this served two purposes for the terrorists. It wasn't just to kill Americans. Think about this. This is why I don't think it was a planned bungle, one of the other reasons. This was to kill Afghanis and keep them from leaving. You want to leave Afghanistan? Go to the airport. We dare you. How many Afghans that were thinking of doing that aren't going to go now? Because the Taliban doesn't want them to leave. They want to control that country. They want the population. They want them there under their thumb. They need them there. What's the easiest way to keep the Afghans from going to the airport? Set off a bomb right at the gate. So this wasn't just about Americans. This was twofold for whoever was behind this, ISIS-K, Taliban, Al-Qaeda. It was twofold. Take out as many civilians, and bonus, we can kill some Americans too.
That actually
let's not forget their main goal.
Because the actual count that I saw of that the general mentioned was about 24 Afghans that were killed in this. I'd heard two dozen, but again, I'd heard that number. I'm not sure. So it looks like twice as many Afghans were killed or injured.
The video Oh yeah, absolutely. The blast, the bulk of the blast from the videos that I've seen. And I haven't seen anything that anybody else can't find. I mean, it's out there already, and they're graphic, and I wouldn't recommend everybody to watch it. But even on the news, even on your mainstream media, CNN, Fox, they're playing the same videos. If you look and count at the amount of bodies that have not been removed because they are believed or perceived to be deceased, you got way over a couple of dozen. So, yeah, there was definitely more Afghans, which is, again, why I think that this was a much larger explosive device than a suicide bomber. Otherwise, this guy must have weighed – he must have looked like he weighed 300 pounds with all his garb on, because there were so many explosives packed to him along with shrapnel and other things that they do utilize if it were a suicide bomber. But – and I don't even like the term suicide bomber. It's more of a murdering bomber, but that's okay. But the amount of Afghanis in the videos that I've seen, and their numbers have been rising. Initially, even the Taliban said it was a dozen, then they said two dozen. The numbers are going up. And when you have, you know, 15 Americans or 12 Americans that we know of, and then you have two dozen outside the gate, okay, well, now we're up to what, three dozen minimum, and the numbers haven't even been fully counted yet? Can you name for me, and I know you do as well as I, you know all the terror attacks, can you name for me where three dozen people were killed by one suicide vest? It's never happened. Never.
No.
Even in a closed, confined space with Bremer T-walls.
The closest
so
I can think of was...
I really think this was a cart. I really do.
Yeah, the closest thing I can think of did not kill that many. I the one that still resides in my mind is the... it might have been PAJ or Hamas attack on an ice cream store in Israel. That one still sticks in my mind. I don't think there was even near that many, but...
Oh, you're probably
travesty.
Thinking of the Sbarro attack, which was the pizzeria, not an ice cream store.
No, this would have been far enough back. It might have been in the 80s. I just remember the early 90s at the least. I remember that so well. It was just so – yeah, that's one of the things that has always stuck in my mind, that which I could never get anyone to – you know, explain away, even if they were for Islam. I says, okay, so you want to talk about you want to talk about some of these people who want to kill Jews. I mean, so they go and do nothing
yeah.
but attack people.
Well, the Sbarro
yeah.
pizzeria attack was August 9th of 2001. It was actually, and the reason it didn't get a lot of publicity after that is because of 9/11. But it was in August 9th, 2001, 15 civilians were killed, which seven of which were children and a pregnant woman, so we can call it 16, and over 130 were wounded. Now, that was a bombing inside a pizzeria, inside a restaurant. But I do not recall, and I'm sure if I could search it out, but I don't remember the one you're referring to with the ice cream. The ice cream store, but there were so many during the first and second intifada. Yeah, during the first and second intifada in Israel, there were literally daily bombings,
yes.
Literally. So you know, and most of which took place on buses, but not all. So it wouldn't surprise me. I seem to remember something about the ice cream store, but I don't remember the particulars of it. And that's really sad when the bombings are so numerous that one cannot remember the specifics. That tells you how bad it is.
Yeah, here's the other truth here that people need to know. Israel is one of the safest places on earth. I would say that.
That's true. People laugh when I say that. You are absolutely right.
It is one of the safest places on earth. It is because every Israeli is part of the military. They will defend their country with their lives. They will defend their children with their lives. The teachers are armed to protect their children. You won't see a school shooting there because their teachers will take one shot and that guy would be gone. It just won't happen. So, unfortunately... that is, you know, when you have to defend, when you defend your country, that's, you do everything you can. And that's one of the things that our current president doesn't seem to understand, the concept of country or nation or loyalty to those that serve for underneath him. and has no problem with leaving thousands behind and evacuating tens of thousands of others. That part, at the very least, if we're going to say plan, that's if at the very least, if nothing is was planned, that was to leave people behind. I may never comprehend that. I don't want to be honest. But the only result I see that they're getting, if anything, is bringing tens of thousands, possibly, to the United States. And that is the part that I am most concerned about. That could be a whole... one of their things that they're talking about with bringing tens of thousands is that creates automatically separate communities, Islamic communities. And that would serve the purpose of groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, which they get called in, believe it or not, in the United States. They do organize the Muslim Brotherhood groups do come in and help organize them. And that does happen here. It happens in every country in Europe. Talked with several people in intelligence in several countries over there, and they say that the Muslim Brotherhood is be doing the organizing. So it's something to think
Absolutely.
About. Gadi, I want to say thank you. Tell people how they can follow your work, because I think, you know, again, your work, I think, is so important out there, and thank you for sharing today.
No, I appreciate that. It's you know, it's tough, Paul, because my website is still up, and that's GadiAdelman.com, GadiAdelman.com. But I have not posted a new article in probably 2 years or more.
Oh, wow.
That I've stopped doing it, but I've gotten involved with other things, and I'll give the organization a plug. Last year, back in July, a new organization started in North Carolina called Back the Blue NC, which was during all the Rodney King rioting and the Defund the Police movement. This organization started as what was only a Facebook page, as a support group, and they asked me to come on board to be the chairman and do media relations. Well, in less than a year, we had raised over $500,000 for the families of the fallen officers in North Carolina. We have over 53,000, we're pushing 54,000 members. We're the largest support group of law enforcement in North Carolina, all in less than a year. We became a 501c3, and I dove into this with both feet because I was out of work and I had the time, and this has been my life for the past 12 months, has been just working with Back to Blue NC, and you can find us at backtobluenc.org. And of course, in my bio, it talks about, you know, what I've done, but as far as intel and as far as working with the government, or training law enforcement as I used to do, that pretty much stopped once Trump got into office. And it, quite honestly, I didn't see a need for it as much because he had surrounded himself and put the right people in place. Let's not forget, look at the terror attacks that took place under Trump versus any other administration. We had the proper intelligence. We had people that knew what they were doing. Well, now look at where we are again. So, you know, maybe it'll be something that I'll get back into, but right now I've been spending so much time with Back to Blue NC that I haven't really done anything on the other side.
I hope that what you're doing takes off, because every Patriot group that I'm working with right now, I want to recommend a group to you, Republican Party Network. REP, let me get to it real quick, RepublicanPartyNetwork.com. If you could, I'd love for you to put your group up there. It's an action group that's all about, you know, taking action. And for anybody listening out there, it's RepublicanPartyNetwork.com. They're a group that's all about action. They want to do exactly what you're talking about, Back the Blue. They want to, you know, stand out and fight against these unconstitutional mandates regarding COVID. So that is a group you may be interested in. They're trying to find people in each state that are interested, and they would help you promote and do some PR with you if they had a way to do that with you. So that's something to consider.
I just tried to go to that website and it's not coming up at all. RepublicanPartyGroup.com.
No, Republican Party Network.
Oh, network. Okay.
Yeah. RepublicanPartyNetwork.com. Yeah. It's an interesting group. I'm enjoying it. They have
RepublicanPartyNetwork.com.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy them. I think they're relatively new and they're based out of the western part of the country, and I'm working with the basic people throughout the, trying to do different places, to find out how to get the truth out. And networking is just so important that sharing information.
And as much as I appreciate, I'm definitely going to look into this. Unfortunately, because Back to Blue NC is a 501c3, we are not allowed under IRS rules to side with one party over another, and that has become a problem because, as you know, it's become a political issue where the liberal left wants to defund and abolish the police, and the conservative groups want to, you know, keep the police out there and support them. So as much as the IRS is telling a group like mine, hey, you can't be political, well, I'm not the one that made it political, but it seems to be that way. So it's a very fine line gray area that we have to walk.
So I'm going to share another thing. I'm going to send you I'll send you via email. And for anybody else who's out there that's interested, I know Annie's out there and she's in another state. I can see her. There is a law that passed in Florida. It was 75 pages long. I looked at this law, and the idea is it kind of tells idiot administrators that want to remove the police force, they want to defund them, or they want the police to stand down in riot actions. This is a law that actually I turned it into 7 pages, the 75-page law. I cut it down to 7 pages. And boy, those 7 pages are powerful. I think they can be proposed in every state. Just change the word Florida to your state.
Definitely send me a copy of that, my friend.
I will send that to you. Yeah, I think my problem with the 75 pages was that it was creating and changing criminal law code. And I didn't think that was all necessary. You needed to. We're only addressing what's new. We have good laws in place. Let the officers do their work. And that's what it comes down to. I want to say thank you again, Gotti. God bless you and keep standing strong for us. Thank you.
You too, brother. I really appreciate you letting me on. And just to give you a quick heads up, I just got an email from LinkedIn that Tony Mele, is that how he pronounces it?
Yes.
The guest you had on first, Tony Mele, just connected with me on LinkedIn.
He's a great guy.
So, Tony, if you're listening, thank you.
All right, God bless.
You too, my friend. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Wow. So let's do a little recap of what's happening. My thought is, and Tony's thought, is that this is a planned failure in Afghanistan. Gotti's not so sure. At the very least, we can agree that there is a plan to leave Americans stranded in Afghanistan, because they've removed 100,000 people. That's the numbers they're claiming, and they've still got thousands of Americans left there. So what was the purpose? My thought is that, and I stated it earlier, again, I don't have any proof, so it's a thought. It's not anything I can prove, is that Obama gave us a hint that he's behind this by having the persons in charge of the Afghanistan currently be persons that he released as some of the five kings for the treasonous bastard Bergdahl. That still upsets me. I was very angry when that happened, and I couldn't understand why the rest of the country didn't see that as treason. I may never understand how others didn't see it as treason, but I think this was his way of saying, I'm the one pulling the strings with Biden. That could be, again, it's it remains to be proven. Here's the thing to think about, and I really need you to pay attention to this. If the purpose is to bring tens of thousands of jihadis here to the United States, that's a possibility when you consider that they're claiming they have removed 100,000 people so far. If that is the ultimate purpose, now God, he gave us an example where at least one ISIS member was caught amongst the people being evacuated in Germany. I think that's incredibly important. If one was caught, how many have slipped through is my big question. I don't know, and I don't think we will know unless something happens. It's scary. Some of these things are just scary. Let's go on. I want to talk about this other big thing that's out there for me. I want you to consider this as I start to talk about this. One of the things I have told my students and others I've known for years and years, check your sources. If they are unreliable, do not use them again. Why use something that is untrustworthy, like CNN or MSNBC? Once in a while, they might have a story that's truthful. I'm not denying that. But if they are consistently unreliable, why do you trust them? Here's another example of this insanity. This is a great reason why America should have done away with Dr. Fauci a long time ago. You know, this week I caught an article filled with misinformation by a writer I used to have some respect for when he worked for Breitbart. I'm not going to mention his name until I get my piece published on this. You know, I've watched things go downhill somewhat for a while. But his article this week takes the cake on becoming a venue for misinformation. This particular writer in Texas, I believe it was writing for the Houston Chronicle, I'll have to double check that, decided that he would promote the refugee resettlement program in Afghanistan, of these Afghanistan, quote, refugees. Okay, these are not refugees until they are brought out of the country. Oh, what did Americans do? They brought tens of thousands of Afghanistanis out of the country. So now they are technically refugees. They were not refugees before they left on a plane. Paid for by the United States. So we made people refugees. I have serious issues with that part. So here's why I say Tomlinson's article is irresponsible and wrong. Now, I'm just going to tell you what you can do if you want to. I'm going to end up putting an article up on this, and I will talk about it. One of the things that I have my concern is with Tomlinson's article is I just want to talk about – I didn't want to say his name. This man whom, again, I respected in the past, fully earned my distrust in his latest article promoting refugee resettlement program in Texas. He ignored several items when writing his piece promoting the refugee resettlement program. To be fair, Texas has wisely told the refugee resettlement program to take a hike. But it's alive and well. Understand that. The federal government has several offices, not through the state, but through private organizations, NGOs, non-government organizations that take in millions of dollars off of refugees. So let's talk about refugees and why we have problems here. The refugee resettlement program was started under Jimmy Carter by the Refugee Resettlement Act. This is public law 96212, section 212. It was signed into law on March 17, 1980. And this law defines refugees as, now pay attention to this, any person who is outside any country of such person's nationality or in the case of a person having no nationalities outside a country in which such a person habitually resided, and who is unable or unwilling to return to, and is unable or unwilling to avail himself or herself of the protection of that country because of persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution on account of, listen closely, race, religion, nationality, or a membership in a particular social or political social group or political opinion. This is part B of this now. That was A. Let me read part B. Special circumstances that the president, after appropriate consultation, may specify any person who is within the country of such person's nationality, or in case of a person having no nationality, within the country in which such a person is habitually residing, and who is persecuted or has a well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, political opinion. Term refugee does not include any person who ordered, incited, assisted, or otherwise participated in the persecution of any person. That's important to understand. Now, I'm wondering if we're going to hear President Biden declare that those who have left on these, of the close to 100,000, let's say 90,000 persons who have, of Afghans, who have left, been evacuated, if these 90,000 persons are going to be declared refugees by President Biden. We'll wait and see. Now let's look, even the Texas Health and Human Services defines a refugee as a person who is outside his country of nationality, who is unable or unwilling to return to that country because of persecution or well-founded fear of persecution. Unlike asylees, refugees apply for and receive this status prior to entry into the United States. So this is important to understand. Come here first and then be called a refugee. Can't happen. Now, those coming from Afghanistan, and again, do not meet the definition of refugee, as until this week, they were not outside the country previous to coming here. They were not fleeing a change in government. Fleeing a change in government is not the same as fleeing persecution. This is important to understand. They may disagree with a government and have no reason to fear persecution. Think about it. If they want Sharia and the persons who are running the government implement Sharia, do they have a reason to fear persecution? It's something to think about. Those who have reason to fear persecution in Afghanistan would be those who are not Sunni Muslim, Christian, Jewish, or anything else, even Shiite. The Taliban has been asking people for their cell phones and looking into if they have a Bible app. If they do, that person with a Bible app is killed. What if they're female? Well, the Taliban took over a section of Afghanistan. They allowed the daughters of Muslims and non-Muslims alike to be forcibly taken and violated. So women have a reason to feel persecuted. Homosexuals have a reason to feel persecuted. Journalists have a reason to feel persecuted. Those who work for the American government had a reason to be persecuted, to feel like they were at risk. Because who's in charge? The enemy that they were helping. They were helping us, and we were considered the enemy of the Taliban then. So think about it. Those who worked for us while we were there may not have been trusted to come back to the United States. That's important to understand also. They might have worked for us and we trusted them just so far. That's another possible. Assuming that if they worked for us that they should receive a single pass into the United States negates the importance of security checks and the rarity of skill sets in Afghanistan. This is one of the things I talked about last week, and I've been talking about for about 4 years, that we have been putting persons who are in charge, who are in government control positions in Afghanistan, our military has been using former Taliban. This is one of the reasons why it was foreseeable that this could have happened, this takeover could have happened this quickly, because many of those who were in positions of power in Afghanistan were former Taliban, because the skill sets necessary to run government weren't held by many. And they were held by some former Taliban. So one of the things I talked about was soldiers when they came back. Now, because those fleeing Afghanistan have not legally been defined by the President of the United States as yet as meeting Part B of the definition, again, it's going to have to happen. He's going to have to make that statement in order to make those fleeing Afghanistan to be eligible to receive the Refugee Resettlement Program financing. This means whatever state, including Texas, that accepts these Afghans into their state must pay for their welfare, their education, their housing, their health care with state and local funds. Now, just to let you know, the Refugee Resettlement Program does not pay for a vast majority of the costs of living in America. No, they only pay a few thousand a year for each individual person to that family. It's a lot less than what you think. Who pays the bill? Your state and local taxes, people. Your state and local taxes pay for it. The Refugee Resettlement Program hardly pays for anything. It pays programs to educate them. This is why organizations like Catholic Family Services make tons and tons of money. There are a lot of organizations out there. They're not allowed to share Christ. They'll call themselves Christian organizations. They're not allowed to say anything about who Jesus is. They call themselves church organizations. Yet they cannot share who Jesus is with these people, and they supposedly consider this a Christian move. Well, when you take money from the government to keep your mouth shut about who Jesus is, something's wrong. That's an opinion of mine, and I'll say if you're going to take money to keep your mouth shut, something's wrong. Additional issues arise when realization of what the Refugee Resettlement Program does not pay for. Again, housing. Nothing is paid for. Who pays for it? Your state. Education. Let's talk about that. Who pays for the person to teach the kids? Your local taxes. Your state dollars will help finance that. So your local and state taxes are now involved. Who pays for the translators? Your local and state taxes. The feds aren't paying for that. Are you catching this? So if we're talking about tens of thousands of people possibly coming here, and you think of the expenses now, this is unimaginable that what we're talking about, if they're talking about bringing these large numbers here. Housing, healthcare. Healthcare is generally covered by by a percentage of the Refugee Resettlement Program. But again, they're going with the first day they get here, they're brought to your state welfare office and they're put on the welfare rolls. They get Medicaid cards. Oh, so again, who's paying for the majority of this? The state and local taxes. Start thinking about the charges and the costs. The Refugee Resettlement Program is billed as something better than it is. This is important to grasp and understand. It's one of the reasons I have no faith in the program. In fact, I do not trust it. And it takes a person with a small and shallow mind not to be able to see this. I actually looked into where does the cost come from? How much is actually spent? I was able to track why people went to one, why refugees were leaving one state and going to another based on how much they earned. This is scary stuff when you start to think about it. Wow. I have to say, when I started to do this work, I never, ever, ever expected to find out so many evils being done in the refugee resettlement program. I have a friend who personally oversaw a local program here in my neck of the woods, and he stepped out after seeing some of the evils of the program. He got out because he realized that this was more of a money organization, and they didn't care. They cared about their income. They cared about increasing the numbers of people coming here. What they didn't care about was when their program wasn't successful with the individuals becoming, quote, American. One of the things not even said today when I'm talking about this program, which I think are drastically important. In the United States, when you come here as a refugee, you are considered a refugee for 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years, not four, five, six, no, 1 year. After the 1 year, all financing dries up. Oh, so you pay, the federal government pays for 1 year. That's it. They're done. Oh, are you catching this, people? Who gets the financing? Well, if you don't cut the mustard to get a job and to get off on your own 2 feet, who's getting that money still? Well, it'd be those agencies, those non-NGOs, those non-government organizations that rake in the bucks, claiming that you are still part of their services, so the government needs to pay them. So who is paying for them after year one? The feds. Again, it's your state and local taxes. What happens after the year? They become permanent, they get a permanent alien status. Think about that. Legal permanent resident status. Think about it. That doesn't mean they're citizens. That means they can stay here. If they get that far, what does that say? And they have, if they don't have money to support themselves and are just sucking onto the tax dole, that's a problem. Annie, thank you for listening. I appreciate that. These things are shocking. I want you to think about that. I've been talking about the evils of refugee resettlement program. I've talked about the evils of the Biden regime. I had a couple of good laughs today, and I'm going to share them with you. One of them has to do with MRCTV. If you're not familiar with the Media Research Center, I really encourage you to connect with them, mrctv.org. You're going to find some amazing work by them. One of the things I caught this week was how MRCTV busted the media defending Biden. So I'm going to play that piece for you first.
Pretty safe to say that the withdrawal from Afghanistan is going really badly.
There have been instances of the Taliban beating Americans trying to get to the airport in Kabul.
Among the items seized by the Taliban are Black Hawk helicopters and A-29 Super Tucano attack aircraft, M4 carbines, and M16 rifles, U.S. Humvees, and mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles.
So, yeah, Afghanistan has turned into a bit of a hellscape. But moments like this are useful, because they reveal who the true hacks are in the news media. Who's shameless enough to spin this in Biden's favor, or to avoid reporting the actual facts, because they happen to look bad for the administration? Give up?
President Biden stands firm on his decision on Afghanistan, while Republicans pretend that they got everything exactly right for the past 4 years.
The president, from what he was dealt and what he's done over the course of the last week, should be congratulated on the way this was done. He's done an extremely good job in this situation.
Joy and the gang are really upset that we're still talking about Afghanistan when we could be discussing, well, pretty much anything else, actually. COVID or white supremacy or whatever, as long as it's not Afghanistan.
What about the 626,000 Americans who died of COVID because of Donald Trump.
5,000 people, while this was going on, died of COVID in this country. 500 people died of gun violence in the last week in this country.
One of the concerns I have is what this does for recruiting of white nationalist groups.
Now let's look at the journalists who are seething at their colleagues for daring to report negatively on this debacle. And the top offender here is Joy Reid, again.
For the past 3 days, the American media gaze has been fixed on Afghanistan. We've heard 24/7 dissections of everything the Biden administration did or didn't do and all the factors going into the withdrawal of U.S. troops and what it all means for Biden's political future and the future of Afghanistan and of our country.
Why does her tone make it sound like that's a bad thing? Joy, that's called reporting.
It sure is dramatically different, frankly, from how the country has approached the January 6th insurrection.
There it is. Stop reporting on Afghanistan because something January 6th. I love it. Never change, Joy. Of course, Brian Stelter also gets an honorable mention in this category, with an assist from his routinely pro-Biden panel.
Is this exactly what anchors and reporters should be doing, holding the administration accountable? Or has the coverage been out of proportion, out of step with the American public? Matthew Dowd, you would describe the media's coverage this week as what?
Way over the top and unconnected to a perspective on the issue from the beginning.
I agree. It's been over the top. It disappoints me that the press is behaving in this way.
Then you've got the handful of Democrat faithfuls in the media who are always arguing this could never possibly have gone any better. This was always going to end with the Taliban seizing caches of military weaponry and aircraft.
It's a very, very hard decision. You're sitting in the Situation Room and you're presented with really, really unpleasant choices. And I think he made the best choice and he stood by it.
The downside of this going on for very long and then having Donald Trump as president is that he put President Biden in the worst possible position.
There's no way to surrender, leave, withdraw, whatever you want to call it, in a war without things getting ugly.
Wars end ugly. I hate to break it to folks. This is what it looks like when you get out, when you rip the Band-Aid off. It's not pretty.
As they say, when the tide goes out, you can see who's not wearing a bathing suit. In this case, we get to see which so-called journalists are willing to sabotage their own credibility in service of a political goal, even when a bunch of their own very political colleagues refuse to stoop that low. Take note of who these people are, because this is the kind of behavior that's permanently damaging to a journalist's reputation, or at least it should be.
Now, I caught that, and I had to share it. I thought it was unique and well done. People, you should be paying attention to what's in front of you. You should be watching, and if you are listening to CNN today, I pity you if you trust it. I'll be honest, I don't trust any news station at this point. I don't trust Fox. I don't trust MSNBC, CNN, and most of them. I don't, because they have proven themselves to be carrying propaganda. I have only found maybe OAN, One American News Network. I like that so far. I don't spend a lot of time listening to news. I read most of mine, and I do that because I like to get to the original stories rather than where things are when they're reported. I want to go back and find out where they're getting the information and look for that. In the light of humor and noticing all of this insanity, again, considering much of all of this planned, I want to share with you the audio version of J.P. Sears. He's a great sarcastic, humorous person on Biden's top 15 accomplishments. I think this will surprise you. Again, this is J.P. Sears on Biden's achievements.
After winning the most controversial election in U.S. history, that we're not allowed to question, the clear winner, Joe Biden, has already racked up many monumental accomplishments as president, so many that he deserves to be on the same list of all-time great world leaders that includes Mao, Stalin, Putin, and Kim Jong-un. What are Biden's greatest accomplishments that have earned him a place in this exclusive club? Let's find out. He classifies U.S. citizens as terrorists. Biden now classifies only a couple hundred million Americans as terrorists, This comes from his new guidelines that state anybody who questions his COVID measures or claims there was election fraud are terror threats. Sounds reasonable. And the fact that he's threatening people with the label of terrorists if they question the election kind of makes people who accidentally think for themselves think there was that thing that we're not allowed to mention. Kind of like Biden's playing poker with his card facing out, only he doesn't know it. He handed Afghanistan over to the Taliban. After being in Afghanistan for over 20 years to help stabilize the country for our allies, Biden decided to suddenly withdraw all U.S. troops. And right after Biden did that, the Afghani president had to flee the country as terrorist organization, the Taliban, completely took it over, including seizing control of the capital city and the presidential palace. U.S. citizens had to do an emergency evacuation from the roof of the U.S. embassy. With the U.S. not there anymore, the Taliban is currently hunting down and murdering innocent Afghanis who assisted the U.S. in missions against the Taliban. And these people would never have the opportunity to be brutally murdered if it wasn't for the president who got the most votes in U.S. history. Afghanistan getting attacked and taken over by the Taliban after Biden abruptly pulled all U.S. troops out comes after Biden defied U.S. intelligence reports that told him that's what would happen. Biden is a good enough leader that he knew what happened wasn't going to happen. Watch.
Is the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not. Because you have the Afghan troops have 300,000 well equipped as any army in the world and an air force against something like 75,000 Taliban. It is not inevitable.
And now that the Taliban has gained a strong foothold of strategic positions, because they have all of them, Biden has ordered thousands of U.S. troops back into Afghanistan. So it's way more dangerous for U.S. troops, but at least the Taliban will be much safer against the U.S. troops. But when giving a news conference about his success in Afghanistan, after he could barely read off a teleprompter for 10 minutes, but before he turned and walked out without answering any questions and went back on vacation, Biden did manage to blame Trump for everything Biden screwed up in Afghanistan. Oh, and also, the Taliban did find tons of U.S. weapons on bases they took over that the U.S. left for the Afghani military. And now the Taliban will be able to use those weapons against U.S. troops because of Biden. Now, that's a great accomplishment of strategic leadership. He took away free speech. Many used to think the First Amendment was untouchable. That is, until Biden started assaulting free speech like it's an intern in Andrew Cuomo's office, who Biden praised for his leadership, by the way. When the White House announced it was instructing Facebook what to censor, Biden successfully became the only president in U.S. history to censor U.S. citizens' right to free speech. He created a race war. Biden has a relentless agenda to get critical race theory taught in workplaces, the military, and most horrifically, schools. He teaches young children that they're evil and born racist if they're white. And he teaches brown and black children that there's no hope for them, all because of their skin color. Biden's been inspiringly indoctrinating kids to judge themselves and other people based on their skin color, not the content of their character, which happens to be the opposite message that Martin Luther King Jr. taught and ultimately gave his life for. So it's kind of like, technically speaking, either Joe Biden or Martin Luther King has to be a racist. And when you consider the facts, like Biden is on record saying of Obama, he's the first mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. And with his sponsoring of the 1994 crime bill, he's perhaps responsible for locking up more black men in prison than anyone else in history. And he also said black people don't know how to get IDs. He also said blacks and Hispanics don't know how to use the internet. And for saying poor kids can be just as bright as white kids, I'm pretty sure it's not Biden that's the racist. Oh, and also, Biden gave the eulogy at the funeral of KKK leader and recruiter Robert Byrd, during which time Biden said he was a friend and mentor. And with all that expert mentoring in mind, I think it's clear that between the two, Martin Luther King's the racist. And if you're still thinking about Biden's whole handing Afghanistan over to the Taliban kind of thing, just know It's hard for Biden to fight terrorism when he's busy terrorizing the citizens of his own country with his race war. So have some compassion for the guy. He told Americans that showing an ID to vote is racist to protect election integrity. One might think that having to show an ID to vote would be a good thing. Many have thought, well, isn't that policy already in place? Nope. And in order to control all elections, Biden told Americans it's racist to have to show an ID. But instituting mandates to have to show your medical records in order to get into restaurants, shops, and theaters is not racist. It's a show us your papers kind of thing, like the Nazis did, who tried to exterminate an entire race, which I don't think was racist. But at least now, for example, the fact that 65% of black people in New York City haven't gotten a shot means that most black people in New York will be banned from eating in restaurants and going into other public places, which is not only obviously not racist, it's unifying. It kind of reminds me when Rosa Parks got on the bus and they told her, go to the back. Only now, Rosa Parks isn't allowed to even get on the bus. He defunded the police. Biden aggressively pushed to defund the police, which helps protect people by not having anybody to protect them. And now with murder rates and crime skyrocketing all over the country, and people mistakenly realizing that defunding the police causes catastrophic problems, Biden is now saying it was the Republicans that wanted to defund the police. Some people would say, he's lying through his teeth! But others who aren't grounded in objective reality would say, that's just good Biden leadership. He promotes disrespecting motherhood. Some would consider motherhood to be the most sacred act in life. But Biden rings out his Depends to piss all over motherhood by trying to indoctrinate people into believing that mothers don't exist. They're birthing people. He's also trying to replace the terms mother's milk with human milk and breastfeeding with chest feeding. Objective truth doesn't have a place in reality. When your brain's achieved Biden levels of dementia, Biden's Build Back Better agenda starts with destroying the nuclear family. And based on how his son Hunter turned out, it's safe to assume Biden's already an expert in this area. And his leadership shows it. He created a border crisis. Biden opened the border for illegals to enter the U.S. and stay in the U.S. This has significantly boosted the economy of human trafficking, while improving foreign relations with drug cartels. But for full transparency, Biden doesn't allow reporters to film or take photos of what's happening at the border. As Biden has allowed well over a million illegals to enter the U.S., he demands U.S. citizens stay in their home and wear a mask around their own family to protect them from COVID. And it's estimated that up to 40% of illegals are infected with it. But sending them all over the country with no testing or safety measures makes Biden's leadership look as true as his narrative on COVID. He subjects the nation to Fauci's abuse. Let me ask you this. If you had a babysitter who was caught abusing your children, you wouldn't feel the need to get a new babysitter, would you? Well, neither does Biden. After it's been proven that Fauci helped create the virus that caused the pandemic by funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab, instead of firing him and prosecuting him to the fullest extent of the law, Biden keeps him as the guy in charge, instructing people on how to interact with the bioweapon that he created. Though the good doctor's mandates and recommendations have arguably caused more deaths of despair than the amount of deaths that he's caused with his virus, his willingness to relentlessly lie makes him a very valuable asset to Biden's leadership council. He's trying to take all your guns. Biden aggressively wants to take all guns from people. Now, while that might treat the Constitution like it's toilet paper, Biden heading up the most authoritarian, tyrannical administration this country has ever seen doesn't look suspicious at all as he wants to disarm the population. Unless you know about history. He's destroyed women's sports. Biden is such a strong advocate for women's rights that he wants all people to have women's rights, including the right to play women's sports. With his push to allow biological males to compete in women's sports, and with many of those said individuals dominating over biological women, many Americans are finding that at least women's sports don't suck as much to watch anymore. Women's cage fighting is my favorite. He's destroyed children's education. Under Biden's dismantling of society, Oregon recently announced it'll allow kids to graduate high school even if they can't read or do math, as math is now racist and reading is obviously rooted in the white supremacy of literacy, Biden's helping usher in a new generation of uneducated people. And a society of uneducated people will be completely dependent on the government. A perfect recipe for the masses to obediently welcome in socialism and communism, coincidentally enough, and amongst Biden's other communist-creating coincidences. He wants equity, not equal opportunity. Oh, and here's another one of his communist coincidences already. By comparison, equal opportunity means you're living in the land of opportunity, whereas equality of outcome means you're living in the land of communism, where everyone loses equally, including losing all opportunity. He gave up our energy independence. Because Biden wants to look like he's caring for the environment while he destroys the country, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Therefore, Americans get to enjoy skyrocketing gas prices while he's made Europe dependent on Russia for energy. That might mean a loss of power for the U.S. in many senses of the word, but at least he gave a lot more power to Russia. He bends over and spreads them for the Chinese Communist Party. Joe's dedication to helping the Chinese Communist Party is tireless. And it came to a beautiful crescendo when he was speaking of his commanding officer, Xi Jinping, and his current genocide that he's committing against the Uyghurs. Instead of condemning their concentration camps, murders, tortures, rapes, and forced sterilizations, he covered it up by saying their cultural differences. It takes a strong leader to find the good in genocide. He walked up steps. Biden successfully walked up 9 steps before he fell 3 times in a row on these steps. And then he displayed his strength of character by having his press secretary say, "The wind blew him over," which somehow makes him look stronger. He's created record inflation. Biden has driven inflation up to its highest level in over 30 years. And if that's not impressive enough, just know he's not slowing it down anytime soon. Biden's economic strategies mean he keeps businesses closed as much as possible so people have to collect unemployment, which he extends for indefinite periods of time. And then when he allows businesses to open, they can't find any employees because they can make more staying at home collecting Biden's special unemployment, as Biden incentivizes people not to work, which decimates the economy even further when business owners can't stay in business anymore. And to fund this economic prosperity, Biden passes trillion-dollar spending packages through like he's Hunter pushing rocks into a crack pipe. And to fund all of this, Biden prints money like it's nothing, which is helping it become nothing as Biden's economic strategies are devaluing your money and destroying the U.S. currency. But while all this happens, you get to enjoy an occasional $600 stimulus check. Wow! Such an impressive list of accomplishments in such a short time in office. For all that he's achieved, we hereby give Biden the Karl Marx Award in Leadership Excellency. Congratulations to Hunter's dad. All of Biden's accomplishments.
Some of this, I like Sears. I think his humor is great, so I'll probably be playing more of his work. I've been saying, a lot of this is a planned bungle. If this is part of what Obama had intended, it goes along with what happened when he was in office. There was an increase in the execution of Christians. Well, let's not forget that they were going door to door and asking for people's phones. If they had a Bible on their phone, they were executed. That's been happening. Something to think about. They couldn't get a physical Bible because they would get killed. They put one on their phone, they're still getting killed. That's happening. Just before we go outside the USA, with the little time they have left, I do want to cover something unusual. Two Muslim congresswomen, part of the squad, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, have actually shocked the people in the United States and Israel by going after the Palestinian Authority leader, Abbas, which... This was pointed out in UnitedWithIsrael.org. This kind of blew my mind. Pesek Benson wrote this article. It's called Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar finally denounced Palestinian human rights abuses. Members of the Squad, a group of progressive democratic lawmakers, also known for slamming Israel, publicly criticized the Palestinian authorities' latest crackdown on dissent. Over the weekend, PA security arrested 30 Palestinians from Ramallah who were holding a peaceful memorial gathering near Nizar Banat. Banat, a staunch critic of the Palestinian Authority, died in custody shortly after being arrested. Oh, wow. How did that happen? he was sparking demonstrations in several Palestinian cities. The PA said the protesters who gathered in Ramallah's Menara Square on Saturday and Sunday didn't have a permit for the gathering. Most of the 30 released, but 8 remained in detention, including some well-known anti-corruption activists, prompting the Squad's scrutiny. According to Haaretz, the 8 Palestinians were freed on Tuesday, soon after Senator Bernie Sanders reached out to multiple PA contacts to raise the issue. Well, it's interesting to hear that Bernie Sanders has connections with known terrorists. Think about that. Isn't that interesting? Tlaib, the daughter of Palestinian immigrants, tweeted, "Dear President Mahmoud Abbas, this is not how you protect and serve the Palestinian people. Shame on you for suppressing." Shame on you for suppressing. Are you catching this? Shame on you for suppressing Palestinian voices who are trying to seek liberation from not only Israeli apartheid government, but from your corrupt leadership. Missouri Representative Cori Bush tweet implicated Israel. Oh, yeah, catch that. She was going against Israel. Suppressing dissent and criminalizing protects only deepen. Again, she missed the point. What do you expect? Omar tweeted, "Locking up peaceful protesters is a textbook human rights abuse and the hallmark of authoritarian regimes. I urge the Palestinian Authority to release these political prisoners and conduct a thorough, transparent investigation." You expect something thorough and to be done correctly and to stop human rights abuses in an Islamic country? Oh, sorry, that's not a country. It's a territory that Muslims have claimed for themselves. And that they are being permitted to keep by the country of Israel in which it resides. So, yeah, it's a first. It actually happened. and the Jewish paper recognized it. It's something good. Now, I don't know if you're paying attention to Canada. That's across the pond from me, across Lake Ontario. Canada is having problems with their new Afghans in political offices, calling the Taliban our brothers. Canadian woman and gender equality minister Mariam Monsef clarified her comments on Wednesday when she called the Taliban a group the country recognizes as terrorist organization, our brothers. Monsef reiterated that Canada condemns their actions and that she meant it as a cultural reference, really. Okay, her family fled Afghanistan to come to Canada. She considers the Taliban her, but what you may not know about Ms. Monsef is that she's of an Iranian birth. Yes, she was born in Iran. Yes, think about that. She was born in Iran, and she considers Afghanistan her brothers. No, she didn't say that about her Canadian brethren. You know who else in Canada is calling the Taliban and the jihadis in Afghanistan their brothers? Imam Yunus Kathrada. He was captured on memory endorsing the Mujahideen, the jihadis in Afghanistan. Why? Because he puts his material on YouTube. This is what he said, though some of it was said in Arabic to hide his endorsement from English speakers. That's why I love memory, memri.org. Here's a quote. The quote, "The Jews and Christians are willing to spend mountains of gold in order to take us away from Imam, from Islam. So they spend it. But don't fear, at the end of the day, they're not going to win. Allah tells us that they will spend it, that it will be for them a source of regret." A source of regret. 20 years in Afghanistan, I don't need to say anymore. A source of regret, they will be overcome. Does this sound familiar to you? Have you been listening to the Jews? Let's say, Al-Akbar. He said, "They will attack what is most sacred to us, but all of that which they do is only a small portion of what is really in their hearts, of the hatred that they have toward us in their hearts." They believe that Christians have this hatred or non-Muslims have this hatred because that is something that they are taught to have, that they must have as a very little. So they believe that everybody else has it. Another quote, he said, "Do not think the Jews and Christians are our friends. They are our enemies." Again, so they're teaching that hatred. Here we go. He says, I incite you to show support for your brothers in Afghanistan who want to establish Sharia in their land. We see that the West wants to talk about the rights of women. The rights of women. Ah, yes, the right to be prostitute, her right to sleep around with whoever she wants. I want you to understand that what those rights are, by the way, her right to be abused, her right to show her body off to men who get off on watching her and porn and other than that. Then he said, Allah grant victory to the Mujahideen fighting for your sake everywhere. Allah grant success to our brothers in Afghanistan so that they establish your Sharia in the land. Okay, so it's all right to endorse a murderous regime on YouTube. But should your name be President Trump and a faked insurrection happens, you get removed from Twitter, you get removed from every place, blocked from Facebook. Oh, God forbid you tell something that might actually be true and good, that might promote America. Get taken down. This week, those in the military refusing the jab, gene therapy, masquerading as a vaccine are being threatened with re-education. This is a term learned to those who live in the Soviet Union, described for forcible brainwashing. The term the Soviet Union described. Think about that. Should never be done in the United States, yet that's happening. Wow, we are down to the last few seconds here. I want to say thank you for joining us and listening to everything we've done today. Tony Melee and Gotti Edelman, I want to say thank you. Come back and listen to the show, please. Come back and listen tomorrow. We have some outstanding guests, hosts out there. Tomorrow we have Dr. Andrew Herod. Saturday we have Usama Dakduk and Christy Johnson. They're on at 10 o'clock on Saturdays. Come back on Sunday. We have Eric Feierstein. Monday, we have Alan Vito, the Vito Esposito show, just a number of great, great people. I want to say thank you again for listening. I'm going to send us off with courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute, we'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start a ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down. Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Sorry that you messed with the U.S. of A.